Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast, where we go behind the scenes and uncover the tactics and strategies top entrepreneurs are using to make more sales, dominate their markets, and how you can get those same results. Here is your host, Dave Woodward.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Funnel Hacker Radio. Today, you have the opportunity of having one of my favorite friends on, a guy who has been a huge advocate and supporter of ClickFunnels from the very beginning. Welcome, Todd Brown.
Thanks so much for having me, man.
Glad to have you. You actually were our very first affiliate to win a car. So thank you once again. You've been with us from the very, very beginning of ClickFunnels. And you've known Russell, I know, for almost the beginning of time, it seems like. So we appreciate your friendship and all that you do for us.
Yeah, well, I only support the best of the best, man. And so it's well-deserved.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, today I want to kind of jump right into things. For those of you guys who don't know Todd is... Again, he's been around the industry forever, but one of the things I love most about Todd is he has the ability to take things that are super, super complex and dumb them down to almost a kindergarten, second grade level, which is kind of where I like to play. And because of that, the topic I really want to spend a lot of time on today is one of the things we're starting to get asked about from most of the people who have funnels going, and that is, what metrics do I need to measure? What things do I have to look at? In fact, Todd, it's kind of funny. I was with Russell yesterday. We were filming with Marcus Lemonis, and Russell basically said, well, you know, which metrics are you guys using? And the producer, I was in the other room, the producer turned to me and said, what are metrics? So with that, we'll kind of use that as our segue. What are metrics?
Well, yeah, metrics are – that's a great question. I love the idea of me breaking stuff down to a first grade or kindergarten level, and that's because I think that's the level that my mind operates on best, man. And so, you know, metrics are really just the objective measurement of really how well a funnel is working. And so there are, you know, very big picture metrics or objective measurements of what's going on with your funnel. And then there are very narrowed, very specific, metrics that tell you how each different piece, element, page, step, traffic channel, ad is operating. And what metrics do is they just eliminate all the guesswork. They eliminate opinion. They eliminate assumptions. They eliminate, you know, what you or I think about what's going on. And they tell you objectively, with none of that guesswork, exactly what's happening.
Oh, that's awesome. And again, I want to make sure everyone understands, as we go through this kind of stuff today, this is this kind of stuff you actually are going to want to take notes on. It's kind of funny. I know, Todd, you're familiar with a lot of Russell's stuff, but the book that kind of separated us from everyone else was our 108 split tests. And it was one of those things where – and the only reason I bring it up is exactly what you just talked about, and that is, you know, it doesn't matter what your opinion is until you actually measure where people are actually – what are they doing? Where are they putting their money? To me, that's what matters most is – I don't care what colors you use. I don't care what picture you use, as long as it converts. And more importantly, that you make money off this deal. And so it's kind of funny. I was talking with Russell literally just last night about it. We were doing this interview with Marcus. They were saying, you know, tell us about this whole, you know, what is a split test? And, you know, all these weird the things that are pretty common in our industry. But for them, they're like, what in the world are you guys talking about? And so it was kind of fun just kind of talking about, well, you know, Russell will create a website or at least a page, and he'll think, okay, I've got this thing nailed. This is exactly what he wants. And then he would turn it over to his co-founder, Todd Dickerson, and, you know, Todd would change one or two words. And actually, the conversation we had yesterday was literally by changing two words on the order form, we had a 212% increase. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff. But let's keep kind of diving into this. So when you're – from a person who's just getting going as far as ClickFunnels, what would you say are two or three of the most important things they need to focus on? What do they need to look at first?
Well, before we even get to some kind of base level metrics, a couple things that I think are really important for everybody to understand. First and foremost, we are in the arithmetic or math business. Like at the root of direct response marketing, which is the type of marketing that we do, typically very copy intensive, long form copy, at the foundation of direct response marketing is numbers is the fact that we are in the numbers business. Direct response is all about communication, psychology, and simple math. It's very different from brand institutional advertising, right? Which is so much more reliant on creativity, if you will, right? It's why we, you know, it's why as small business owners and operators, why we use direct response marketing, not only because it's more effective, not only because it produces results, but because every aspect of it is quantifiable, is measurable, is trackable. So we can invest a dollar and we can see how much does that dollar bring back, how quickly does it bring back $1.50, $2, $6, whatever that is. And so it allows us to operate without the guesswork. It allows us to operate without assumptions. And instead, it allows us to operate with numbers that don't lie. It allows you to see, did the first headline work better or did the second headline work better, right? And there is no, even in that phrase, work better, right? It's a better headline. Well, without numbers, what does that mean? Right? What does that mean? What is that based on? Is it based on somebody's opinion on your team? Is it based on your own team? Is it based on what your wife thinks or your husband thinks? Right? The beauty is that it's based on objective numbers, objective data that that doesn't lie. And I just cannot stress that enough, that the big difference between the most successful direct response marketers that I know, the biggest players, the A players, the ones that really make direct response marketing look so easy. The big difference between those folks and the typical average marketer is that for the A player, their decisions are driven by those numbers, right? So they're not forced to come up with these new whiz-bang creative ideas. Like it's not that the A players have honed their creative chops so much more necessarily than the new marketer. It's that they're able to see the data and they're able to make the quick decisions from that data that ultimately lead to results. Sometimes they're able to make decisions based on that data that don't necessarily lead to quick results, but they're able to make those split tests. They're able to do split testing and they're able to use the data to ultimately find the winning variation. And so that's the very first thing. Like, we are in the numbers business. And so you have to have your numbers in order to be able to make decisions. The thing that in this, and I don't mean to go on this crazy tangent, but I just want to drill this in so much to everybody that, like, the thing that I despise the most, the thing that drives me craziest when I am involved in a new venture, let's say when we launch a new company, we have a new team or whatever it may be, and we don't have numbers, and then I'm being called in to make decisions, marketing decisions in the dark. Right. I say, like, I can't tell you what traffic source we should use or how much we should spend on a particular traffic source or what traffic sources we need to weed out or what traffic sources we can spend $1 per click on versus $2 per click or $3 per click. I can't tell you which funnel is performing better or which funnel we should ultimately use with YouTube and which funnel we should use with Facebook ads and so on without those numbers. Because without the numbers, I'm simply throwing a dart at the wall and hoping that the decision I make is the right one. And so does that make sense?
Oh, it makes complete sense. And I really appreciate you spending the time going through that because we get those kind of questions all of the time. So, yeah. You know, what page converts best? Which page should I use? Which template should I use? What? And I'm like, until you put some money out there or until you test something and you can get some results and get some numbers, everything else is just a crapshoot. I mean, you're just rolling dice. So
yeah,
I love
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. And so the first thing that I would really recommend for your listeners is that when they're working on a new funnel, right? And so, like, ClickFunnels has made it just so insanely simple to get a funnel up. Well, one of the things that I recommend is that once they've got that funnel set up, I actually recommend what I refer to as a minimum viable funnel to get going. And what that means, a minimum viable funnel is really just the minimum number of steps that you need in a funnel to be able to test the premise or the idea of the funnel, you know, the hook of the funnel, if you will, and the offer, right? And so before you work on creating, you know, six different upsell offers, before you work on creating what is your back end sequence or your back end process after you get a buyer, before you even put together any of those other elements, you want to test the minimum viable funnel so that you can make sure that the premise that you've designed the funnel around and the offer that you've designed is effective. Because if the premise is weak, meaning the idea is weak, meaning that, you know, it's not really creating the engagement or attention that you need, it's causing mental opt-out, people are hitting the page and bailing because it's nothing new, you know, or the offer just isn't sweet enough, strong enough, it's not irresistible enough, well, then it doesn't matter how many upsells you have, doesn't matter your back-end strategy, nobody is going to see it. And so the goal is to get to minimum viable funnel and then test that minimum viable funnel as quickly as you can. What is the goal or the objective of testing the funnel? It is to get those base level metrics, to begin to collect metrics on your funnel so that we've got the numbers, the data that we can then use to begin making decisions. See, the thing that you don't want to do, it's almost like this. It's part of the process that we teach our coaching clients is this idea that when it comes to setting up and launching a funnel, you want to separate the engineering stage from the optimizing stage, right? Optimizing is about improving your results. The engineering is about the setup of the funnel. The reason why you want to separate the engineering stage from the optimizing stage is because you can't optimize without data. Right? Or you can't optimize, you know, without, like, you know, if you're optimizing or attempting to optimize without data, you're simply hoping that you're making the right decisions, right? You're taking a shot in the dark and hoping that it works. So we engineer, we test, we get the data, and then we use the data to optimize. We have to have base level metrics. So does that make sense?
Oh, it makes great sense. I love that idea as far as a minimum viable funnel and then really focusing on making sure that you have a big difference between engineering and optimization. I mean, yeah. My gosh, yep. Those are great, great advice. Thank you.
You got it, man. And so the very first thing that I look at, and this is right, like keeping it totally like, you know, first grade, kindergarten level, because this is really like I'm sharing exactly what I do. The very first thing that I look at and the number that I personally concentrate on with our funnels, especially like certainly when we're running any kind of cold traffic, paid traffic. And let me just say this for one second, that for the first, I don't even know how many years, X number of years that I was online, I had this misunderstanding of investing in paid traffic, in investing in media. I thought that the whole game, the whole goal was to keep my marketing budget as low as possible. Like in my mind, right? Like it makes like, if you think about it, right? Like it makes total logical sense. Like, you know, it makes total sense. Common sense would tell you, well, if we've got a monthly, you know, marketing budget of whatever, of $10,000, let's say, that the goal is to spend the least amount of that $10,000 as possible. Because if we, you know, if we only spend $1,000 out of that $10,000, well, then that's $9,000 that, you know, we save. That's $9,000 that you could reasonably say drops to your bottom line. But the reality is that that's really the antithesis of the way the biggest, most successful direct response marketers work. It wasn't until I had a conversation with my buddy Rich Sheffrin where he really opened my eyes to the fact that, like, until you can afford to invest in the acquisition of customers, you don't have a business. You have a promotion. Like, if you're reliant, right? If you're reliant on affiliates, if you're reliant on launches, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with affiliates. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with launches, but if you are reliant on those because you cannot make paid media work, you cannot make cold traffic work, you cannot make Facebook ads work, YouTube ads, Google AdWords, email solo ads work, you don't have a business. You have a promotion. And when other people promote that, then you do well. And so really the name of the game is to be able to invest the most amount of money that you possibly can. Like, look, if every dollar you put into media brings you back even just a dollar, if every dollar you put out brings you back a dollar in the form of new customers, in the form of new customers and leads, you are building your customer base. You're building your list for free. You're acquiring customers for free. That's if you're just breaking even. That's if you're just putting out a dollar and getting a dollar back. We're not even talking about if you put out a dollar and you get back a dollar 50 or 250 or 350. And we're not even talking about the back end. I'm just talking about your front end customer acquisition funnel. And so that's the reason why I talk often to my clients about the need to transition to paid media, where the whole game changes and will change for your listeners when they're able to invest a dollar into cold traffic and get back at least a dollar with customers, with leads. And so with that being said, when I test a new funnel, and there are really three different ways that you can test a new funnel. So, and there are different schools of thought here. I'm going to quickly give you both and then tell you the first basic number that I look at when I test a funnel. So the first school of thought is that if you have a list of customers, you want to test an offer to your list of customers. And there's a lot of validity and value in doing that. The biggest value is that you're not risking any capital. Right. So you're not investing, right? You're not risking any capital, and you are seeing if your hottest prospects, if you will, quote unquote, right? These are your customers. These are the people that have the most amount of trust in you. They have the relationship with you. They've seen that you've delivered the goods, right? So the other valuable reason to test to your customers is that if they don't respond in droves, you're never going to make that offer work with cold traffic. The best your offer will ever perform is with your customer base. So that's the first thing that you can do. The second thing that you can do is if you have a list of prospects, you can test with prospects and not customers. That's a great thing to do if you're testing a low priced offer, like if you're using, let's say, one of Russell's free plus shipping offers. It's a great thing to do. I wouldn't necessarily test a free plus shipping offer with existing customers because a free plus shipping offer is a customer acquisition offer, right? It's an offer right. for prospects to convert them into customers. Again, no capital outlay there, and a great way to get the pulse on response rate. If the people on your list who may be on your list for a month, 2 months, 3 months, they don't convert on that offer, again, the likelihood of you making that offer work on cold traffic is slim to none. The third way is when you've got the capital, when you're willing to invest the capital, you go right to cold traffic. I tend to go right to cold traffic because my ultimate goal with every front-end funnel is ultimately to be able to go to cold traffic. That's the whole reason why we're designing the majority of our customer acquisition funnels. So when we go to cold traffic with a minimum viable funnel, the very first number that I look at is return on investment, right? Meaning I want to see how much did we put out and how much did we make back. The healthiest position to take for your listeners and what I have all of our new coaching clients take is you're simply looking for break even on the front. You're not looking for profit. You're not looking to spend a dollar and get back $2 or $3 or $4. I know that sounds crazy, but for direct response marketers, for the savviest direct response marketers, they divide their marketing into two categories, front end and back end. Front end is all the marketing that you do with prospects with the goal of acquiring the maximum number of new customers. That is front end. You're not looking to generate profit. You're looking for maximum new customer acquisition on the front end. The back end, the second transaction, the third transaction, the fourth transaction, that's where all the money, the profit, I should say, is made in a direct response business. That is the business. The back end is the business. The front end is the vehicle to acquire new customers. So where the typical mom and pop, the typical small business owner or operator out there with the typical brick and mortar business, where the majority, they are trying to generate a profit on every transaction, right? They're not separating their marketing between front end and back end. They don't view transactions differently, regardless of whether it's with a longtime customer or a brand new customer. They're just trying to generate a profit on every transaction. We, as direct response marketers, understand that that's not the way this business thrives. That's not the way you'll thrive. The way you'll thrive is by looking at customer acquisition front end, just as customer acquisition. The safest way to start before you have metrics and before you have significant cash flow is just at break even. You lay out $100, your goal is to make back 100. You lay out 1,000, your goal is to make back 1,000. You lay out 10,000, your goal is just to make back 10,000 on your customer acquisition marketing funnels. And so before I go any further, totally cool. Does that make sense?
Totally cool. And I absolutely love that. I appreciate you really drilling down on that, because a lot of people keep thinking I should be making money on my front end. And I think that if people understand what you just said there, that the difference between front end and back end is huge. That's the whole business. So that's awesome.
That is the whole business. And the biggest difference, and we won't get into the nitty-gritty details of these numbers, like of this math right now, but folks listening can go back and do some calculations afterwards and see exactly what I'm talking about. That if I have $100 to invest, and I'm just using that as a simple number. If I have $100 to invest and somebody else has $100 to invest, and the difference is that they want to make a profit and I'm okay not making a profit, that means that I can ultimately acquire more customers than they can, right? Because there's a certain cost to acquiring every customer, right? Like if you invest $100 and you acquire 10 customers, that means there's an average cost of $10 per customer. It costs you $10 to acquire a customer. Well, the difference is that if you have to generate a profit, then, the amount of customers that you will acquire compared to me, let's say, if I'm willing not to generate a profit, will be less. And remember, the goal, the objective with the front end is to generate maximum new customers. Maximum new customers. Let me say that again. Maximum new customers. Now, just for reference for everybody, because I think that it'll help them see the next step. The next step, the next level to front-end customer acquisition, and I refer to these different levels as acquisition aggression. Acquisition aggression. How aggressive are you being with acquisition? We talked about how the mom and pops make the mistake of trying to generate a profit. They're right on the front end. They're even though we know it's front end, they don't realize, right? They're operating transactionally, right? Then the next level or layer of acquisition aggression is what I just said, is break even. Healthiest, safest place for new marketers to start, because no money is flowing out of their bank account. It's going out for a day or two and it's coming back. It's going out for a day or two and it's coming back. This way they're able to recycle their budget over and over and over and over again. Well, the next level, the level that the savviest direct response marketers operate at, the level that produces the quickest growth and the biggest growth in the shortest period of time, is what's called going negative. And going negative just means that you're actually spending more money to acquire a customer than what that customer is worth today, what that customer spends with you on their very first transaction. And the only way that you're able to do that, that means, so the difference here is this, right? The difference is the mom and pop, if the average customer spends $50, the mom and pop are only going to be willing to spend, let's say, $40 to get a customer, because they want to have profit. Right. If the average customer spends $50, the mom and pop, they're only going to be willing to spend maybe $40. Probably usually it's much less than that. But let's say they're willing to spend $40. Well, at the next level, break even, if the average customer spends $50, right, I'm willing to spend $50 to get a customer. Right. I break even. I make no profit, but I acquire a customer. I'm also able to spend $10 more than the mom and pops to acquire customers. So there's more expensive media I could use. There's more things I could do. I could send direct mail, right? There's just more that I can do, giving me the ability to acquire customers more effectively. At the next level of going negative, I may be willing to invest $100 to get a $50 customer, to get a new customer that spends $50, meaning that every time I get a customer, it costs me $100, but I recoup $50 of that $100, so I'm going negative by $50. So now, immediately, you tell that strategy, you share that strategy with a mom and pop or somebody who's never, you know, who doesn't understand the deeper elements of direct response. And they say, well, why the heck would you do that? Why would you lose $50 on every customer? Well, that's because we understand that the profit, the money in this business is on the back end. Once I know what a customer is worth in month two, in month three, over the lifetime of their patronage with my business, and let's say, for example, I see that every new customer that I get, every new customer who spends $50 with me today will spend another $50 with me next month, another $50 the month after, and another $50 for the next each month for the next, let's say, 12 months, meaning that the average customer is worth worth $600 to me, right? The average customer is worth $600. Some might be worth more, some might be worth less. But the average, when I look at my customer base, let's say in this example, is worth $600. So why would I be willing to invest $100 today? For obvious reasons, because I know that I might go negative today by 50, but next month I make that 50 back, so I'm at break even after 2 months, and then I have another 10 months of profit, ultimately meaning that every time I invest $100, I make back $600. It takes me a year in this example, but I'm acquiring assets that are worth more than what it is that I'm paying to acquire them today. And that's one of those lessons that I want everybody to get, and I want you to listen carefully to me here. The way I think about customer acquisition is I think like an investor. I am investing in the acquisition of assets. Assets that are worth a certain amount of money today and assets that are worth a certain amount of money to me in the future. The difference between being, let's say, a stock investor is that with stock investing, I may know what an asset is worth today, right? But I don't know for sure what that asset is worth in 3 months or is going to be worth in 6 months or a year. But when you have your numbers, when you have your metrics, when you know your numbers, then you know what that asset is worth today, meaning what's the average front-end transaction value, and you know what the average customer coming in through a funnel, through a traffic source, is going to be worth to you next month, the month after, and all the way down to the end of their average lifetime. And so the beauty is that as an investor, you're able to see what is this asset worth today, and what is this asset worth a year from now, 6 months from now, 2 months from now? So I know what it is that I'm willing to invest today. I'm investing in the acquisition of assets that are worth a certain amount today that I know what their value is going to be in another month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. Does that make sense?
Oh, man. Todd, that is great content. I think the thing I hope people understand is this is where you go from having a hobby that's online to actually having a business. When you can start thinking as a business owner who thinks as an investor, the sky's the limit. I mean, it really is. I remember, I think it was Dan Kennedy made mention that, you know, he who can spend the most to acquire a customer always wins.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's because, right, like, think about it. Like, look, you know, and, you know, look, here's the game, right? So if, you know, if everybody else in your marketplace can only spend $100 or is only willing to spend $100 to acquire a customer because that's, you know, maybe, you know, every customer spends $120 during the first transaction, right? So they're willing to spend $100. They're willing to lay out $100 in order to get a new customer. But if I'm willing to lay out, if I'm willing and able to lay out $500 to get a customer, I'm going to crush everybody. Because I can do things, right? I can send, you know, a dancing troupe to their house and right, sing to them. I could send direct mail, FedEx. I could use channels that they can't use. I can do things that they won't be able to do. I could stand out. I could do so much more because I'm able to invest more to acquire a customer. So what allows you to invest more? The easiest way for me to kind of share this with everybody on here, the easiest way for me to help everybody listening get their head around this is there are two things really, there's really three things. I'm just going to throw this out because these are really the three things that you need to understand in order to do this. So first and foremost is, what is your average front-end transaction amount? Meaning that is, what is the, sometimes that's referred to as average cart value. That just means, what does the average new customer spend with you when they come through a particular funnel, right? So let's say you're running Facebook ads and you're running Facebook ads to one particular funnel. And let's say with that funnel, you followed Russell's teaching and you've got, you know, a couple of upsells on top of your main offer, right? And so the question then is, well, what does the average new customer spend with you? Some customers are only going to buy the main front end offer. Some are going to take advantage of the front end offer and the bump offer. Some are going to take advantage of the front end offer and the first upsell. Some are going to take advantage of everything, right? The main offer, the bump, the upsell one, upsell two. And so you're going to get an average. You know, you're going to get an average of what does the average new customer coming through that that funnel spend with you. The higher that number is, right off the bat, right? The higher that number is, the more you can afford to spend to acquire a new customer, right? If you take your average from $100 per transaction to $110, that means you've got 10 more dollars to invest in the acquisition of a new customer. Once you know your numbers, and once you have the cash flow, then you're able to use lifetime customer value. When you're first starting out, you want to use average cart value because that's the safest bet, right? It's money that's coming in immediately.
That's great. With the dot-com secrets book, the one you promoted so heavily for us last year, our average cart value is $32.10.
Yeah, that's amazing, right? Like, that's incredible. And when you think about it, right, and that's why I remember, right, Russell so wisely, you know, kind of changed up the offer, sweetened the offer for partners because he knew what the number was, and he was therefore able to pay out more to excite partners more, and therefore we worked harder for what we were making, right, like more money. And all the while, right, Russell was very wisely, like the savvy direct response marketer that he is, he was just acquiring more and more and more customers, right? And so, like, it was just a beautiful thing in action. But if Russell didn't know his numbers, if Russell didn't know that one number, right, he wouldn't have been able to make that move. He wouldn't have been able to incentivize partners more. And he wouldn't have been able to generate the, you know, tens of thousands of customers the way he, the way you guys so beautifully executed. And so once you know your lifetime customer value, then the game gets even more exciting, because then while you can still work on your average front end transaction value, while you can still work on increasing it and getting it up, you can actually go negative. So if I get my front end transaction value up to 120 instead of 110, and I'm also willing to go $50 negative because I know that the average customer spends another 50 with me a week following their first transaction. Well, sweet. I'm going to spend more, right? Like, that's just money in the bank, because I know I'll spend 100 and, you know, so they, right? So now my average front end transaction value is 120, right? But I know that in a week, they're going to spend $50 on average with me, some more, some less, some nothing. Now I'll happily spend $170, and I know that it just takes me a week to get to break even. But then after that week, every dollar that I generate through that new customer, through our back end, is profit.
Perfect.
Is profit.
Love it.
And so, make sense?
Yep.
And so first thing I look at, you know, is I want to know ROI. I want to know, you know, I want to understand where we're at. Like, I spent a dollar. How much did each dollar bring me back? Now, to just jump ahead, to start to get into a couple of, like, very usable metrics for everybody, but also metrics that you really can't run this business without. Let's cover one more, and then I'll go with it in whatever direction you want. So we talked already about average cart value, right? We talked about average transaction value. So let me give you an example, right? Like, let me kind of paint this for you a little bit. So who uses it? Like in my, let's take ConversionFly for 1 second, right? So ConversionFly, I had a meeting just yesterday and I was talking with our COO, Ty of ConversionFly, and on the call with me was Damien, who happens to be our COO at Marketing Funnel Automation, but he's also the guy that does all the traffic for ConversionFly. So we're on this call and we're looking at our metrics, right? Now, the beauty is, the thing that I want everybody to understand is that I always say to my team or teams, I always say, you should be able to show me the metrics, not have to give me a whole explanation, and I should understand what's going on. If you have to give me an explanation of something, if there's some extra stuff that you want to weave in there, if there's an issue with the reporting of the metrics, you're not clear on something, you're not giving me something clear, I shouldn't have to hear an explanation. So yesterday, we're talking about three different metrics. The first metric that we're talking about is lifetime customer value. Now, we look at lifetime customer value for all of our different offers, all of our different funnels, and all of our different traffic sources. So I want to know, for example, what is the average average lifetime customer value for somebody that comes in through a free trial? What is the average lifetime customer value for somebody who comes in through not a free trial? Right? Like right off the bat, I want to understand the difference between those two. Why? What's the value of that? Well, the value of that tells me that it might tell me, for example, that, wow, the customers that we get that come in through a non-free trial, like where they're paying up front, they have double the lifetime customer value, meaning that they're worth double to us. Let's say I'm just using that as an example. If that's the case, well, what's the value for one of your listeners of knowing that? Well, the value is that now, right, if you had the choice of getting 20 new customers for your free trial or 15 new customers through your main paid offer, right? The answer is you want the 15 people through the paid offer.
Absolutely.
Because they're worth double, right? But if you don't know lifetime customer value, you don't know that. And so you could be focused on the lower quality customers, therefore losing money in the process. Now, who on the team out of me, Ty, the COO of ConversionFly, and Damien, the traffic dude, who is the lifetime customer value really for? So it's really for Damien, the traffic guy, because it tells us, it tells him what it is that he can legitimately afford to spend to bring a new customer in. It's a number that he's going to utilize versus, let's take average transaction value. So average transaction value was the number that was one of the numbers that I was really looking at on the call, because what that tells us is how well that funnel is performing, meaning how well the different pieces of the funnel, the different steps of the funnel are performing. The marketing person is looking at the average cart value, and the marketing person is trying to get that average cart value higher and higher and higher. Whereas once you're in the position to go negative, your traffic person is using lifetime customer value, because they know that if your lifetime customer value is $1,000 and they could get you people for, they could get you new customers for $500, they're doubling your money. They're doubling your money.
Yeah.
Whereas Ty, right? He was also looking at that number. He was also looking at lifetime customer value, because that tells him how well his onboarding is working, how well his customer support is working, how easy the app is to use, and how well is it delivering on the results that people are signing up for, right? Because the better it works, the easier it is to use, the longer people stay, and the longer people stay, the higher their lifetime customer value gets. The third number that I want to talk about, which is like a mandatory metric for every single person listening to this. You cannot scale your business without this number. And there's a lot of different versions there's a lot of different ways to come to this number. But the number that I'm talking about is average visitor value. An average visitor value is just this. It is, what is the average dollar value? What is the average dollar value of a visitor to a particular funnel? And the way that you can very easily figure that out is you can figure out, you can calculate that, excuse me, by taking the total amount of money. Actually, what you can do is, let's say you got 1,000 visitors to your site, 1,000 visitors to your site, and let's say that you sold $1,000 of product. So you got 1,000 visitors and you sold $1,000 worth of product, right? Out of those 1,000 visitors, let's say, you know, hypothetically, whatever, 100 people bought. 100 people bought a $10 product or spent on average $10. Therefore, you generated $1,000. That means that your average visitor value is a dollar. On average, every visitor to that particular funnel is worth $1. What's the value in knowing that? Well, now I know what I can afford to spend to get a visitor, to generate a click, right? Without knowing that number, you have no way to know what it is that you can afford to spend per click. The thing that you really want to do is you want that number. You really want all of these numbers that that we've talked about: lifetime customer value, average front end transaction value, and average visitor value. You want those for every funnel and for every traffic source, right? So you want to know, if you have one funnel, for example, and you use three different traffic sources, you want to know what is the average visitor value from Facebook, what's the average visitor value from YouTube, what's the average visitor value from Google AdWords. You don't want to lump them together. You want to know separately. And when you know that number separately, right, you know what you can afford to spend. You might see when you separate them out that you can't afford to spend what it is that Google AdWords is charging, because Google AdWords is charging $1.15 per click for your particular keywords, but the average visitor value from Google AdWords into that funnel is only 86 cents. If that's the case and you're not ready and prepared to go negative, you're losing money every click. Every click, you're losing money. But you might see that on Facebook, the average visitor value is $2 per visitor, and you're able to get clicks for $1.50. Great. That means every click on average, you make 50 cents, right? Like, and so that's the value of having those kind of numbers. Remember, it's not, there is no guessing. There is no wondering. There is no assuming. There is no, when I ask Damien, how well is the traffic going, right? Like, I don't even ask that question, because the answer is, let me just see the metrics, right? Let me see the number. And that tells me everything I need to know. This funnel generates this funnel costs us X per click, X per visitor, and that funnel extracts out X times two. Run it all day, every day, right? Then my answer, going back to what I said earlier about, like, the game is how can you invest the most amount, right? Remember, thinking like an investor, right? Recognizing that the game is not to invest the least in the acquisition of customers. The game is to be able to invest the most. Well, imagine if somebody came to you and said, wow, you know, every time we put a dollar in this machine, we get a dollar back. How many dollars do you want me to put into that machine? The answer is as many as you can, as fast as you can, every freaking day.
Love that.
Right? That's the game. And so that's why. But imagine if somebody said to you, you know, like, how much money do you want me to put in here per day? But they don't tell you, like, how much money you get out. Or imagine if all they told you was, like, you know, you get out $2. If every time I put your money in here, I get back $2, should I do it? The question is, well, how much money do I have to put in? So you need those numbers. You need cost and you need sales. You need the two sets of metrics on both sides of the coin. The other thing, just because I know, like, there's so much to talk about with this, but I want to share this with everybody. Like, the other thing is opt-in. If you're using an opt-in page, right? Like, if you're using a squeeze page, opt-in rate, sales conversion rate, order form completion rate, upsell take rate. Those are just optimization metrics. Those are just metrics that you use to optimize a funnel. None of those metrics, opt-in rate, sales conversion rate, order form completion rate, upsell take rate, none of those metrics tell you the viability of a funnel. None of those metrics can be deposited in the bank. None of those metrics are going to grow your business. None of those metrics are going to allow you to scale a business. What's going to allow you to scale your business are always numbers that are preceded by a dollar sign. Right? Meaning they're not percentages. It's like percentages don't like opt-in rate doesn't mean anything. You could have a 60%, 70% opt-in rate, like a crazy opt-in rate, and be losing money. You could have a crazy opt-in rate and a crazy sales conversion rate and be losing money. You could have an extremely low order form abandonment rate and be losing money. Same time, you could have you could be breaking even on a funnel, meaning acquiring customers for free, building your email list for free, and, right, you could have a 10% opt-in rate, you could have a 1% sales conversion rate, you could have a 70% order form abandonment rate, you know, and you could still be doing well. There are times when I have funnels, I look at funnels or client funnels, you know, of our coaching students or through our agency, and they're like, you know, we're breaking even, but like our opt-in rate is low. Like, and so we stopped running traffic. I'm like, are you crazy? Like, run it. We'll work on opt-in rate, right? We'll use those optimization metrics to identify the constraint in the funnel, the weak link in the funnel, the part of the funnel that if we fix will produce the biggest bump in ROI. But if you're at break even, regardless of what those other metrics tell you, run that bad boy. Run it. And so does that make sense, man?
It makes complete sense. You know, Todd, one of the things I love, the whole reason I wanted you to come on our podcast is there are very few people. In fact, I think you're the only one I know really well who is as passionate about numbers as you are. I mean, I just love it. I know we're kind of getting short on time here because I know you got a lot going on. But one of the things I know everyone's going to be asking is, Dave, I hate running numbers. I don't like doing math. And that's the whole reason I wanted to have you on is I know you've got an opportunity basically where we basically can have it done for them. If you don't mind, just take a few minutes to kind of introduce them to ConversionFly and how it works and why we've integrated with you guys and love to see if it's tool it works for them, fantastic.
Yeah. And so ConversionFly, you know, it came about because of my own need. So, you know, I don't remember, I would say about almost 2 years ago now, I just became just wildly frustrated having paid for and tried every single tool that I could get my hands on, that I could find for tracking and reporting our numbers. And I was desperately hoping to find a tool that did everything that I wanted and needed, knowing that, like, we're in the numbers business and knowing that, like, if I have an application that isn't accurate or, you know, doesn't track everything I need or doesn't track everything properly, then, you know, what's the use in having flawed metrics? I'm only going to make flawed decisions, right? I'd rather have no metrics than at that point than have flawed metrics, to be honest with you, because I'm going to be doubting everything I'm looking at constantly. And so I finally decided that I just needed to have an application created. And the original intent was just to have it created for me and marketing funnel automation. Fortunately, when I first started many, many moons ago, about 15 years ago or almost 15 years ago now in direct response, the first 6 years I was in the SaaS business, software as a service. And so I understood and understand what it takes to build a development team and the amount of money and time that it was going to cost me. But I had to bite the bullet for myself because I said, what else am I going to do? I either do this, right? It's an investment today that I believe is going to come back, I felt, in droves in being able to see accurate numbers, make intelligent decisions, and scale up much bigger and much faster. And so I went through a lot of crazy turmoil that I won't bore your listeners with having this thing done. And then I got to this point, like hired a full development team. I went back to the guy that I originally worked with, our lead developer from many moons ago. And then I just had this kind of this epiphany that how could I not release this thing to the public when a big part of what we do at Marketing Funnel Automation is coaching and training on the strategic side of funnel development and funnel engineering. Like, how could I tell people you need to track, you need to know your numbers, you need accurate numbers, and hey, go find a solution, knowing that I tried them all. And so that's when I had the team kind of go back to the drawing board on the user interface and redo the entire user interface to make it really nice and cool looking. And then we ran this this paid beta group. I wanted, you know, like serious marketers to put this thing through its paces, which we did for, I don't even know, 6 months, 7 months, something like that. We broke the thing multiple times and we tested it on every platform that we could get our hands on. And fortunately, we made it through that process, a lot more money than I was expecting later, and a lot less hair on my head than at the start. But so, you know, the application today is just, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it because, number one, right, I had this thing built for me. And I love direct response numbers because it's our business, but I'm not a, you know, I was never good in math. I was a terrible student, all that. So, number one, I wanted it to be a one pixel installation. You know, all these other applications that I had tried, you had to like paste an action code, you had to paste a sales code, you had to every time you set up a page, you had to paste a different piece of code on there. If you had a funnel with five pages, you had to have five different pieces of code. Like, and I didn't want that. And so I said, I want one piece of code that you paste on your site once and you never need to paste another piece of code on there again. So they did that. The application Conversion Fly, it tracks through a complete funnel from beginning to end. It tracks every traffic source. It tracks every ad. It tracks even organic traffic through your blog, and it reports on 21 plus key direct response marketing metrics. So it shows you for every traffic source, it shows you for every funnel, lifetime customer value and cost per click and revenue per click and cost per lead and revenue per lead. It shows you average visitor value. It shows you your time to break even. It shows you, all of these things for every funnel, for every traffic source, for every link, like you name it. It gives you the ability to compare funnels side by side so you can see which funnel is doing better for which traffic source. It allows you to compare traffic source side by side so you can see which traffic source is doing better for a particular funnel. It tracks across all devices. So it's the only tracking, like, you know, now that mobile is like continuing to skyrocket in terms of usage, I realize that the other tracking applications out there are all purely cookie based. That just means that they are device, even they're browser specific, right? That right. means that if somebody clicks on an ad on their iPhone and then they opt in on their iPhone and then they watch your sales video on their iPad and then they buy on their iMac, right? And they buy on their iMac, your tracking is a disaster because it's going to show the click, it's going to show the cost for that click. It's going to show the sale, but it's not going to attribute that sale back to the original source. That's what's called attribution. And so I said it's got to track across all platforms. If it can't track leads across all platforms, then it's not accurate. If it's not accurate, then I'm not going to use it. And so we had them build in what's called lossless tracking. It allows you to do – I'll share one other thing because I don't want to turn this into a conversion fly fest. But one of the things that I had built in that I think is just insane, is a game changer. And I don't I don't use that phrase lightly, is that we built in the ability to run internal split tests on a single funnel based on traffic source. That just means this. Let's say you have a single funnel and you are getting traffic from YouTube and Facebook. And you might see that your upsell is doing really well with the traffic from Facebook, but you see that the upsell is doing really poorly from YouTube. Well, if that's the case, right, for most marketers, they can't even they don't even see that, right? They're unable to see how well the upsell is doing or the different parts of their funnel is doing from each different traffic source, right? Now, imagine if you saw that. Well, with ConversionFly, you can now run a split test to find an improved variation for that upsell just for YouTube traffic. So nothing will change in the funnel for the traffic coming from Facebook, because we don't want it to, because the upsell is doing really well. But we can run multiple split tests on the upsell just for the traffic coming from YouTube until we find a winner just for the YouTube traffic. So we have the ability to optimize a single funnel per traffic source simultaneously without impacting the value of a sale from every other traffic source. And so it's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, I know a lot of people are going to want to get the opportunity of working with you on this. So we put together you guys can get it basically. If you go to funnelhackerradio.com/conversion, we'll have a special offer there that Todd's set up for us just because he's been great friends with ClickFunnels and Russell for a long time. So again, Todd, I cannot thank you enough for all of your time. Most importantly, your wisdom and your friendship. You're a master at understanding this business, and I just love spending the last hour with you. So thank you so much, bud.
Thank you, man. It's truly an honor, man, to be on here, and I love what you guys are doing. It goes without saying that I'm a big fan, and I look forward to continue to support you guys, man.
Sounds awesome, bud. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, pal.
Thanks for listening to Funnel Hacker Radio Podcast. If you'd like to be notified anytime we release a new episode, just subscribe over at funnelhackerradio.com. In addition to that, we'd love to send you a free gift. You can find that free gift at funnelhackerradio.com/free trial. One last thing is we love giving away cars. So if you'd like access to a free dream car, all you have to do is go to funnelhackerradio.com/dreamcar and you'll get all the details. Thanks again for listening.